Hello, welcome. Thanks for joining us today for this discussion of the Access Program that we've recently awarded to five institutions. The WE I'm referring to is the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, NSF, and our director Manish Parashar is here, as well as Bob Chaddock and Al Suarez, who were the program officers of the predecessor program, the Exceed program. I'd like to thank each of the PIs who are here with us to have some presentations and then some discussion for preparing all this material. I'd like to also thank Unimique and the Exceed external relations folks for helping us to get the word out. So attendance here is encouraging and great. My name is Tom Gilbranson. I'm with the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure Program Manager from Battelle, time at the NEON Observatory. And I want to lead us off, create the context, and then launch into some presentations by each of the team leaders. The anticipated sequence will be that we'll do slides in a monologue mode, and then, I don't know, after 16 or so slides, we'll key up some question and answer interactive sessions. If you have any questions along the way, there's a Q&A panel, and maybe some of the panelists can respond if you have a question along the way. Otherwise, we can address it at the end. And I'll provide emails for further follow-up beyond today. Next slide, please. So really, it's a simple progression here. I want to discuss the program generally, the scope of it, why that scope was crafted to be solicited the way it was, as well as a little bit about the governance so we understand the leadership. There's quite a few leaders of key areas. But mostly, I want to convey the theme of stability, continuity of services, as well as some new innovative breakthroughs. And so we're going to have a little bit of both, because that's the intention here, is to bring forward the successes that we've had in the Exceed program, as well as launch and break into some new areas. And then I want to also end with a slide that reveals some of the key areas. It's five or six different areas where the Access program and the teams and the governance looks for and invites and actually relies on the research community to be involved. So we will be highlighting opportunities for you to be influencers and for us to hear and learn of the needs that we keep having to respond to. Next slide, please. So from a top-down point of view, the Access program solicitation was built in a strategic manner, thinking about the future advanced computing ecosystem strategic plan that was put together, guided by the National Science and Technology Council's pioneering the future of computing. So we've got a 2019 document, a 2020 document. This solicitation was put together. At the same time, a series of blueprints have been put out by the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, five of them since 2019. And these are setting the context for this ecosystem concept, and we'll go through how that is being manifest in the way the program, the Access program, has been built. In addition to that, we want to be, hopefully we'll show a thread of democratizing and broadening participation throughout today, as well as throughout the program and all of the service track. But let me do a little bit of context of where we have been so that we can look forward. The Exceed program, Extreme Science and Engineering Discovery Environment, that's what we're building upon. And that's about 10 years worth of work where US researchers receive allocations to use computing cycles and storage on one or more of dozens of HP high performance computing and high throughput computing systems that typically exceed the capacity of on-campus system. So these resource providers, as we refer to them, for example, the Expanse system in San Diego, the Bridges 2 in Pittsburgh, Jetstream, Stampede in Austin, Texas Advanced Computing Center. These are the some of the systems. There are many others. Each has unique strengths and uses or types of research that it's their best deployed or tuned for. And so these allocations occur by way of decisions that are made by people who review requests for allocation. And then those reviews are put up to the committee or the council that decides who gets to allocate. And then those allocations are based on 10 or 15 page proposal, are launched, some of the people that get allocations need some help figuring out which machines are best suited to which, how to get to the data. Other people, researchers, might actually need help building the solution. So there's a, XSEED has provided support, user support, to collaboratively put these research programs together and execute them. And XSEED also has metrics that have been collected by the XDMOD, metrics on demand systems, to see utilization. All of those components are being brought forward, some of them revised, some of them expanded and extended. So that's what we want to talk about today. Today is back, it's like week seven, because we just started the Access program on May 1st. So this is, the team is just getting going, but we thought we'd put this out so we can hear from the communities as early as possible and get going. We will be in this transition mode for about 4 months, so that September 1st is the mark where Access will be up and running in its first generation of operation. So that's the context. And throughout, I want to just keep emphasizing that it's a, this ecosystem approach is both hardware, software, and then the people's roles, always driven by the research needs. We have to continually be anticipating what those are and then evaluating, are we doing it well? Is this working out all right, or do we have to make some adjustments? And then finally, we want to have the ability to be agile and revise plans as needed. And we'll hear a lot about that in the governance that the coordinating office is doing with John Towns. Next slide, please. So from the overarching, how did Access get designed and put together? What is the strategy? There are the perspectives of the systems facing perspective, which ones are out there. And there are some test beds being put up to be brought to production quality soon. So there's the, where are the systems views? And then there are the people facing views. But before I go too far into that, let me give Manish Parashar, our director, a chance, because he has the largest view, and I should have offered to give him a chance earlier. Thank you, Manish.
Oh, thank you, Tom. And good afternoon, thank you for joining and welcome to this town hall. As Tom mentioned, my name is Manish Parashar. I'm the Office Director for the Office of Advanced Cyber Infrastructure, or OAC. So building on Tom's context, let me say a little bit about the overarching goals of this program. As you know, over the years, NSF has funded a diverse set of advanced computing resources, services, expertise, that are really designed to advance research and education across all areas of science and engineering, and democratizing access to these resources so they can be accessed and effectively used by the broader set of researchers is really essential to our mission. Right? So ensuring this broad access, this democratization of services, resources, and expertise is the overarching goal of the Access program. Access envisions a fabric of national coordination CI services. Tom gave you an overview of some of these that can effectively support broad and diverse requirements of applications and users, broad communities of users, usage modes, and really support all areas of science and engineering. Right? The Access program has been designed with few objectives in mind. The first one is scalability. In the size and the breadth of the community, we're seeing a growth in the use of CI across all areas of science, as well as the applications and their resource requirements. Right? So how do we make sure we have a set of services that can scale? At the same time, we want to be agile. We are seeing changes in new user communities coming in, new CI needs, new technologies and system architectures being deployed, and new ways in which the communities want to use these resources, right? So how do we have a structure where the services can evolve quickly in an agile manner to respond to these new opportunities and needs, right? And then finally, have a flexible management and coordination structure that brings these things together. And here, NSF in this new program is taking on a major leadership role in making sure these broad objectives are met. As we have done with all our programs so far, when we execute this vision, we want to balance stability with innovation, Tom mentioned, right? Making sure that there's no disruption from the user community that depends on these services, with at the same time introduce new approaches, new services, innovations in how we deliver these services or the types of services to address these emerging science needs. As Tom mentioned, the Access Award, right, the set of five awards was announced or began on May 1st, and this is early days, week 7, and the Access team is working with the Exceed team on transitioning to support and complete this transition by the end of the summer, early fall, right? And we're really excited about the new set of services, the new program, the new PIs, and are looking forward to working with them. With that, let me welcome you once again and turn it back to Tom, who's the Cognizant Program Officer for the Access Program. Oh, back to you, Tom.
Thank you, Manish. I think that this graphic attempts to reiterate or share that same message with regard to the pressures to be stable and have production quality in the downward direction, what's there now and what needs to be continue to be trusted and reliable and timely, while at the same time, and that's part of what we wanted to do today, is to engage community input so that we can drive some of those test beds and some of the data sources and connectivity and instrumentation in the upper right-hand side of this quadrant, as well as reach communities and achieve communications that would be on the left-hand side to get more users and to have more opportunities to take advantage of these resources. Some say people just don't always know what the systems can do. I suggest in some cases, the systems don't know what the communities need. So we see this as a two-way communication that we want to broaden out, and that's what we'll be doing on an ongoing basis. Next slide, please. So I ought to break down this ACCESS acronym. It's the Advanced Cyber Infrastructure Coordination Ecosystem of Services and Support. It's really the middle two words, right? The coordination role. This is not a group of people who are going to do all the work. This is supposed to be first and foremost an enabling and a facilitating role, putting together the interfaces, putting together the coherent, coordinated connections between and protocols and such. And so we'll hear from Amy Shule on some of the operations and road mapping that will be done to enable even more platforms to come in and even more people to integrate data resources. So just from a very top level touching point of view, again, we're building on the successes that have been there. We're widening out the resources and the uses. Trying to get some of these components of access, which have are becoming more modular, to distribute them and have them in a decentralized installations and campuses throughout the country. And then the last point I would want to note just a little bit extra here is that we expect the ACCESS program in its evaluation to also elevate and amplify the efforts of these cyber infrastructure professionals who are the glue that make much of this happen. We've heard quite a bit from the communities that their career paths are sometimes a struggle and these super valuable people are not always recognized. ACCESS and the user support services will help that occur and strengthen that community and that workforce. Next slide, please. The ecosystem that we want to be showing you from a hardware point of view is shown on the screen here, the green, and the green icons are displaying some of the largest high performance systems. The PATH OSG leadership in Madison is opening to a community that we want to have further connections to and expansion into.
Then there are reaches now. We'll hear about some innovative ways to get cloud resources to become attached to and part of the ecosystem in an allocation mode, and then maybe even in a measurement mode, so that we can have that be part of these workflows that are stretching in every direction. So the next slide conveys the ecosystem from a people point of view. Here we see the green stars depicting the principal investigators as well as the co-PIs of the Access Award, of all five of these awards, as well as the blue rectangles, which are the HPC systems that have staff who will be engaged with some of the support of their use, as well as the purple diamonds depicting some of the places where the centers of excellence will be involved. And then this theme of leveraging is one that I want to share. Access wants to establish the ability for networks that exist to become more a part of the Access community, to provide services to other researchers, or to reach out to more researchers than had previously been taking advantage of these systems. So you can see six or seven of these research coordination networks, cyber teams that are on board with the various awardees as collaborators. We're very excited about how much broader this landscape is. I couldn't get everybody on board, but it's on the order of 75 organizations. Next slide, please. Structurally, the solicitation was put out asking for proposals to address these five tracks across the top: allocations and user support services, operations and integration, monitoring measurement, technology translation. And then across the bottom is that coordinating role to make sure that communications are clear, strategic, and that those things which are in common can be addressed with an overarching view. Governance also happens by way of the visions that are set out by the Access Coordination Office and the components underneath it. The Executive Council will be the board, essentially, and then there'll be advisors that will be impaneled. And that's actually one of the places we want to invite some nominations or expressions of interest to participate. So that's the technology translation track. We're going to defer that for a little bit and just focus on these four major services, as well as ACO, the Access Coordination Office. Next slide. So the awards were made to teams, and the first team is the RAMPS team, the Resource Allocation, Marketplace, and Platform Services. We'll hear from them, rest of Buffalo and company. The second team, the End User Support, will be the Multi-Tier Assistance Training and Computation Help. And Shelley Knuth will be speaking about that from CU Boulder. Connect is the Core National Ecosystem for Cyber Infrastructure. In Shul, we'll be speaking to that from the UIUC. And Monitoring and Measurement decided to leave it very simple with their name. Tom Perlani will be expressing that program, which largely stands on the excellence that they have seen in serving Exceed and seeing that be planted out to many remote locations. And then finally, the OpenCI team will be discussing the governance and coordinated communications. In total, it's $52.5 million over 5 years to this award specifically. I would want to note and reinforce that leveraging concept. There are other programs that are already in place, and there are other programs that are envisioned and expected to be done, which will be complementary and supplementary, and will also be helping to achieve the goals of the Access program, the things that the Access program is coordinating. And there's a quick spray of the major institutions that are on across all the teams. The next slide, please. From here, I want to segue into the first of the five teams, and David Hart from UCAR will describe for us some of the Track 1 services. David?
All right. Thanks, Tom. I'm happy to be here today to speak on behalf of the RAMPS team. The RAMPS team is led by the Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center, along with NCAR, where I'm from, and the National Center for Supercomputing Applications. We also have a number of collaborators from across the country. The centerpiece of the RAMPS activities is to build a democratized marketplace for allocations. We want this marketplace to be a welcoming gateway to inspire participation and collaboration amongst the community. We want this marketplace to provide equitable access for a diverse community. To that end, we actually have a diversity, equity, and inclusion facilitator on our management team to ensure that DEI permeates this marketplace and all of our offerings. And we also want this marketplace to be a place where the effort on behalf that required on behalf of the researchers scale with their increasing needs. This flowchart here summarizes our plans for this marketplace, right? First and foremost, the access research community drives this marketplace offering, and we intend to make this a smooth transition for existing XSEED projects and the researchers using those resources. The RAMPS platform that supports this environment is XRAS, the Extensible Resource Allocation Service. This is a familiar, flexible, and robust system used today, and it will continue to support the community and all of the future improvements that we have planned. The four allocation tiers, this is going to be where we take advantage of these tiers to help scale the effort along with increasing resource needs. The Explore, Discover, and Ramp Up tiers are going to be awarded in access credits. That's our name for a universal service unit. And researchers, once they have credits, will exchange those for resource-specific units directly with the RPs, the resource providers in the marketplace. On the lower right, you'll see the Maximize Access tier. That's the top tier of allocations for those activities and groups that require the largest scale needs, the largest scale use of resources. Those proposals will be reviewed by the Access Allocation Review Committee, or ARC, and this is modeled closely on the longstanding XRAC process under XSEED. If you're familiar with XRAC, you'll be familiar with the ARC process. I do want to highlight here that this is an opportunity, though, to engage for the community to engage with us. If you're interested in participating on the ARC, this is a great opportunity to join us and help the community with the allocations process. In the circle there, you'll also see our efforts around continuous improvement. This is going to guide our evolution of the marketplace. It's where we will incorporate community feedback into the marketplace, make sure we incorporate DEI considerations, and make sure we collect input from stakeholders as we move forward through the access project period. Next slide, please. So as part of the access solicitation, it required track one to identify and implement innovative pilots for the allocation service. The RAMPS team has proposed five of these, and we've engaged key partners to help us guide and design these pilot programs. These exploratory efforts will be developed and implemented through continuous feedback and software development best practices. The variable marketplace, that's where we'll take the initial marketplace that we roll out and implement new features such as supply and demand-based conversion rates, so allowing the resource providers to influence how their resources are used, including incentives for researchers to target specific resources or projects. The second innovative pilot is called, I summarize as on-ramps. Here's where we want to place the RAMPS interfaces to allocations out with our partner institutions or other institutions in the community. In essence, allowing researchers to ask for allocations where they're at their home institution rather than having to find the access website and learn about it there. The third pilot is cloud integration with commercial and academic clouds. Here we want to allocate vendor donated cloud credits in the ecosystem as well and see how that will work and how that affects the ecosystem. Pilot four will be looking at allocating CI resource workflows, cyber infrastructure workflows, where researchers can request packages of resources to support complex workflows. So here it might be a combination of instruments, computation, data, and other resources that have to be operated in as a unit. And finally, the last innovative pilot involves sensor nets and instrumentation. So here we want to incorporate significantly different types of cyber infrastructure that might require calendar-based scheduling. And how do we incorporate that into this overarching process? So we've got a lot of excited things planned, and we're very excited to have this opportunity to evolve the allocations environment post-Exceed. And before I close, though, I do want to emphasize that despite all the changes, our first objective remains ensuring that the community continues to deliver top quality science impact from without interruption from the resource ecosystem. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. Can we have the next slide for Shelley Knuth, please?
Hi, everyone. I'm Shelley Knuth. I'm here from the University of Colorado in Boulder, and I'm the lead PI for the MATCH project, the Multi-Tier Assistance Training and Computational Help. And I'm here with my co-PIs, Eva Dielman from the University of Southern California, John Goodhue from MGH-PCC, James Griffin from the University of Kentucky, and Dave Hudak from the Ohio Supercomputer Center. And there are a lot of people that are behind the scenes that are working on this project as well, and I want to make sure to acknowledge them. As I said, our mission here is supporting the users. And so that's really what we're looking at, making sure that the researchers and the people who are using the NSF-funded cyber infrastructure through Access has the support that they need so that they can continue to focus on what's important to them, which is conducting their research. And we're really interested in making sure that we maintain the continuity of service for those who were working with Exceed, but also that we're broadening the net so that we're bringing in and engaging more community members that perhaps were not involved with Exceed. And so MATCH's theme is really in line with what NSF's theme is, which is to make sure that we're enabling that cutting edge and innovative research to happen and providing that through equitable and scalable support. And the way that we've gone about that is through a tiered model. And you can see the image of that tiered model on the left-hand side here. If we take a look at the bottom of the tier, that's where we're trying to hit the most researchers in the community without having to slow them down by having them have to require a ton of support and ask a lot of questions because they're confused about how to use the system. And if we move all the way up to the top of the tier, that's where we're hitting fewer people in the community, but with more of a higher touch. So if I can take a second to explain each one of these tiers, that would be great. So the first tier is where, again, we're hitting the most users in the community. And we're doing that by leveraging some amazing existing tools in the community. Some of those are Open On Demand, the Pegasus Workflow Tool, and the Connect.ci portal, which is now going to be the Access MATCH portal AMP. And what we will be doing is integrating these tools together and providing them access-wide so that they're reducing the barrier to entry for researchers and others who are gaining access to these systems. And so the idea here is if the research community and the community of people who need to access these systems have that lower barrier of entry, don't need to stop and ask a ton of questions and aren't confused about how to interface with these systems, they can again focus on what's important to them, which is conducting their research, graduating their students, getting more grants, et cetera. So we're really excited to be leveraging these tools for this part of the tier. If we step up into tier two, we're looking at providing a curated knowledge base. And this curated knowledge base is again, really about providing as much information as possible to the community of users who are accessing these systems. And what we'll be looking at there is making sure that we're providing resources and information to the community so that they can answer any questions that they may have on their own. They can seek out information about what is possible for them to be able to do. And we'll be leveraging existing resources in the community and we'll be looking to our community to help us identify gaps so that we can provide additional resources. And a lot of that will come from engagement with the community, which I'll talk about in a second. If we move up to the third tier, we'll be looking at providing short-term engagements. And so you can imagine a scenario where you have a researcher who has a short-term project, an effort that needs to be completed. Perhaps they need to port their workflow from a local machine to an Access machine. and they can utilize students to help support that. And so we'll be able to provide matchmaking and some support of the students to enable the projects to continue to move along. And in the fourth tier, this is where we'll be looking at helping provide matchmaking for consultants who may be needed by research projects to do sort of a longer term project request. So you might imagine a scenario where a research project needs somebody to help optimize their code or help parallelize their code. And we can provide some support to help match make people in the community that can provide that effort for them so that the researchers can write that into their grants. I wanna stress that this probably looks the closest to ECSS as was there. Match is not intending to support ECSS, but this is an amazing opportunity that we present to perhaps help that community to move forward. And what we're really excited about here is to really strengthen the community and get engagement from the community to help with our efforts. And, you know, particularly, well, with all of the tiers that you see here, we'll be looking for that help from the community. And we all know that we are, you know, we're a great community that volunteers a lot, and that's amazing. But we wanted to make sure that we're providing financial incentives to the community to help with match activities. And so we've had the opportunity to write into our grant the ability to provide grants to the community to help with some of these efforts, such as resourcing information and tools in the knowledge base. So we're really excited to be a part of Access and really excited to engage with the community. And we're really happy to get input and feedback from the community as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Shelley. Now, can we have the next slide for Amy Shule, who will describe the operations and integration team?
Thank you, Tom. So hi, I'm Amy Shule, and I'm the Associate Director of Integrated Cyber Infrastructure at the National Center for Supercomputing Applications at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. And I am thrilled today to talk to you about CONNECT, which is the core national ecosystem for cyber infrastructure, also called Track 3 for the Access Awards. And we bring together five different institutions. So we have the National Center for Supercomputing Applications, the University of Chicago with Argonne National Lab, the Indiana University, Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center, Florida International University, and San Diego Supercomputing Center. So we're bringing together professionals from all of those institutions to do exactly what CONNECT says. We are connecting this national cyber infrastructure, these systems and services, through an integrated operational framework, in order to really facilitate all of the research that the community is trying to accomplish. And we're doing this through, as you see, there's four different areas in CONNECT. And the first one is listed here as STEP, and that's the Student Engagement Program. And this is where we're working on, is what Tom talked about earlier, really trying to build this workforce. And we're trying to create these cyber infrastructure professionals that we need in order to be able to meet all of your needs as we move forward. So that's a program that starts with a large number of students, and then eventually as it works its way through, thus the name STEP, we end up with a handful of students that are really actively engaged in cyber infrastructure. And we will reach out to you as the community so that we can have mentors and we can facilitate all of these students moving through this project. Then we have our operational support team. And we are focusing on a seamless transition, celebrating all of the great work that was done in Exceed, and also enabling all of those resource providers. The resource providers are our key stakeholder here, enabling them to join the Access ecosystem. And to do this, we have some really innovative integration roadmaps that you can think of as like a menu that resource providers will step through all the different tracks that you're hearing about today, and then also what is it that they need to do to be fully integrated into the Access ecosystem. And this will, we're starting with those that are allocable by Exceed, But then we will be moving into some of these innovative resources and including the cloud that Tom talked about earlier. And there might be times that a resource provider might struggle with these roadmaps, although we're trying to make them very clear. There could be times that there are struggles. And we do have a concierge integration expert team that will help with those when they might reach some of these roadblocks. Okay, then we have our data and networking. And we're really looking forward to ensuring that researchers can move their data as they need to from site to site. And through that, we're offering ConnectNet. We're offering data transfer tools. Some of those you might see some changes in future years of Connect. We'll be in touch with you as we're working through that. And then some of our services like DNS and community engagement. This, we also are engaging with the monitoring and measurement team to look at what the data and networking metrics might be so we can analyze those and improve our services as we move forward. And finally, cybersecurity. Everything needs to be robust and secure. So to do that, we do have the Cybersecurity Governance Council that we're running out of Connect. And then we're also obviously using the tools. And then we're really embracing federated intelligence sharing. We know that those that are trying to access our systems that shouldn't have access, they're working together. So we want to make sure that the cybersecurity professionals in the entire ecosystem are also working together so that we can stay ahead of the curve there. And then finally, we're offering identity and access management. We need to make sure that everybody can have a smooth one-stop shop for how it is that they access all of these services provided by Access. And one thing that I didn't talk about here, but we do have a diversity, equity, and inclusion staff member to ensure that not only just in STEP, but through all of this, we are engaging in as an inclusive manner as we possibly can. And the focus of this, we're focusing on this seamless transition from Exceed, but we also want to ensure that we're broadening the communities, that we're really reaching out to all of you and offering these services however is needed. So thank you.
Thank you, Amy. The next slide will be for Tom Furlani to describe some of the monitoring and measurement, track four.
Okay, thanks, Tom. Thanks, everybody. Excited to be here. I'm track four. I didn't think of a fancy acronym, so sorry about that. Stuck with the title of the solicitation. Kind of boring. But anyway, in addition to myself, I'm at Roswell Park, courtesy of University of Buffalo. But in addition to the team from Buffalo, we have Abani Patra from Tufts, and we've got a bunch of other collaborators from universities. We have Case Western, Indiana, TAC, and SDSC. So we have a good team and happy to have them participate. We're the incumbent provider to this for Exceed. And so my first motto is, first principle is do no harm. XDmod's been out there for a while and people are familiar with it. We want to make sure we continue along that tradition and continue to add to its capability. And so in addition to XDmod, I'll draw a distinction here. There's Access XDmod, which is going to monitor the and measure the performance and services provided through the Access resources. But then there's a broader impact too. There's OpenXDmod, which some of you are familiar with, which runs at HPC centers, including the University of Buffalo. And it provides the same level of monitoring and measurement services that we offer Access, but it provides it on the local resource. So that's kind of an important distinction. And we've been out there for a while. And again, we're gonna continue to develop it. Whatever we develop in XDmod for the Access solicitation, we typically develop in OpenXDmod as well. As much as I like the XDmod portal, I think it's pretty good. And you can do a lot of an analysis. You can look at job level performance. You can look at application level performance. We realize there's a broader community out there that would like to do their own ad hoc analyses, not tethered by the capability we provided in the portal. So one of the things we're going to develop as part of this project is an open framework for people to be a little bit more creative, to do ad hoc analysis. It'll be built on Jupyter notebooks, have their capability to incorporate Python for analysis or any other type of analyses you'd like to do. We've already have a beta version of that. We'll probably pretty soon invite some early adopters to test it out, but we're excited about that because we're gonna open up access to the rich data repository that's available in XSEED and will be available in Access, as well as the rich repository of job level information and usage that you have available to your own resource. So again, it'll be on top of XDMod, but it won't tether you to the particular interface and the analytic tools that we have available in XDMod. If you look at the figure on the right, NSF funds a strong portfolio of capability, a capacity class, cyber infrastructure, novel and innovative, as Tom and Manish mentioned before. But if you, it's important, obviously, but there's a lot of other infrastructure out there supporting research in the country. And we really don't have a global view of that. So if the NSF wants to fund a new system, it would be useful information to say, well, how will that impact the research that's going on across the country, given all these other resources that are available for us? And so we want to have a better picture of the national CI ecosystem. So in addition to the view you get from Access XDMod, we're going to aggregate and provide through Open XDMod information on NSF-funded public cloud usage. That's a growing and important CI resource. Campus CI, we run it at the University of Buffalo. I know many other centers. If you're willing, we'd like to aggregate that data, provide a bigger global picture. And then I think it's part of the solicitation for CC Star awardees on the compute side that they need to provide utilization and metrics. And so again, we're going to aggregate all this, and I'm very pleased to say network has been one of the things that we've left out in the past, network traffic knowledge. Now with Jennifer Schultz and Indiana, we'll leverage NetSage in there. So again, the whole idea behind this is to kind of provide a global picture of the national CI ecosystem, so it can help inform decisions that the NSF wants to make about where's the best to invest their dollars in terms of, would it be public cloud resources? Would it be a new novel architecture? And so again, this is going to help to inform that picture. One of the things we've been doing over the years is workload analyses for various systems. We've done it for Blue Waters. We've done it for the XSEED portfolio of HPC systems, but we've also done it at our own center. It's useful information. We'd like to know what are the applications that are running on them? What sort of memory requirements do they have? What is their CPU utilization? Those sorts of things. We'd like to make that easier for people, a lighter weight approach, kind of press a button, get a workload analysis for your particular resource, and also continue to provide those types of resources for those types of analyses for the National Science Foundation. They're always interested in what are unmet needs out there and what resources would help us meet those unmet needs. So we view that as an important thing to do. We'd like to make it easier for people to do that. I've already talked a little bit about NetSage and the fact we'd like to be able to monitor network traffic and how well we're doing across the US or within a given resource at leveraging the network facilities that are available to us. If you're a user of XDMod or Open XDMod, you know for a long time we've had the ability to do job level performance metrics, application level performance metrics, and they can be used by systems personnel, they can be used by developers, they can be used by the actual end user to try to improve their throughput, improve their utilization of the resource. And we've added capability in that. We can give you a global view now, and we're going to continue to refine that for a particular resource, a global view of how well the job efficiency for the jobs that are running on there. And you can kind of pinpoint particular jobs that might be from a particular group that aren't running very efficient, work with that particular group. And so it just gives you more window into the resource that you're providing for the faculty to do the research. We've also interested in a CI simulator. And this is kind of a reach, but we have a lot of data that we've gathered over the years in terms of what jobs are running on the systems, how many CPUs they're using, what is the performance of these various applications. And it would be nice to be able to predict, if you add a new resource, what will be the impact on the user throughput or the research community. And so we think through machine learning and AI, we can develop a simulator and that would be able to predict some of those things. For example, the National Science Foundation might say, we have limited resources. Should we provide more funding for public cloud usage? Should we provide two smaller class systems, or should we provide more of a capability class system? And the simulator, we hope, can help them answer questions like that. And then the last thing I'll talk about is we want to look at application and be able to measure the energy usage of a particular application on different resources. You know, some of the resources you deploy are designed to be low energy, novel resources, and so low energy consumption. But if the application takes longer to run on a particular resource, then you're really not gaining in terms of the energy and the overall utilization of that resource. So we'd like to be able to understand, first of all, better what the energy usage is of the entire resource, but on an application level. And then you can work with that information. You can have the developers and the engineers try to optimize the performance given on that particular novel architecture. So anyway, a long-winded way of saying that we're happy to be part of this. We're going to take the best parts of OpenXDMod and XDMod and continue to develop them. And then we've got some novel ideas to carry us into the future.
Thank you, Tom. And some of those pilots will be coming to fruition over a period of time.
Yeah.
We're looking at a couple of years. Thank you. So the next slide will be to John Towns, and we will speak about the common interests across and the coordination thereof. John, please.
Hi, everybody. John Towns at NCSA at the University of Illinois. So the OpenCI project is for the Access Coordination Office. This is a bit different in character than the four service tracks that you just heard from. And in fact, a considerable amount of our work will be more behind the scenes in coordinating the activities of the overall program. So fundamentally, one of our major roles is to facilitate governance through an executive council and an external advisory board. To be clear, the OpenCI staff are not to be directly involved in the governance and management, but we are facilitating that and supporting NSF in a variety of ways in overall oversight of the program. So in support of coordinating the activities amongst the service tracks, we will be establishing a collaboration portal to support inter-track communications, how we deal with change control, how we manage risks at the program level, things along those lines. We're also in the process of developing coordinated branding. While we want to make sure that the independent service tracks have their identity maintained, we want some similar look and feel so that as the community engages at a program and the various parts of it, it doesn't feel disjoint to them. So that's something we're actively working on at this point in time. We also have some activities that interface with the community, namely coordinating outreach, DEI, and evaluation efforts across the program. Although many of these things are not the things that the coordination office will lead, we will work to coordinate the efforts of the service tracks into a coordinated set of efforts that work more coherently than perhaps they might otherwise. We'll also coordinate on communications to the community. So that's another area in which we'll directly interface with the community, largely amplifying things that are coming from the various service tracks, but also, again, trying to provide a coherent set of communications coming from the program as a whole to the community and maintaining that coherence over time. We've also gotten agreements. So coordinating the evaluation efforts and such of the program, and we will have this external advisory board. We've also got agreement with a set of individuals running other large programs that have similarity to what we're doing to act as informal advisors to the coordination office, to the OpenCI. So we look forward to engaging with those leaders to help guide how we move things forward. You can see the team members are the leads, myself and Tim Warner at UIUC, Sean Strandy at UCSD, and Lizanne Stefano at Georgia Tech. We, of course, have a number of others, but this is a relatively, speaking, small award, so we'll be doing, as I said before, many of our things that are behind the scenes and helping to try and present a coordinated set of activities to the community. We also have a lot of knowledge of what has been going on with Exceed, so we expect that will help facilitate a smooth transition. Many folks in the community are concerned about things. Some of the questions that are coming up in the Q&A channel are related to that. So we're looking to help smooth that transition as much as possible. So in the interest of trying to get us a little closer back to time, Tom, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Thank you very much, John. So the final slide of the introductory part is back to the tracks to just reiterate some of the places where we look forward to engaging and inviting research community participation. The RAMPS program is looking for volunteers, of course, to review some of those allocation requests. In fact, some of the explore and discover requests are going to be addressed on a rolling basis. So it's good to have a standing stock of folks that can help out with that responsiveness. Likewise, the RAMPS team have that the on-ramps, which we will be placing or allowing campuses to incorporate that into their operations. We'd like to look forward to your feedback with that. The MATCH team has plenty of, as Shelley was pointing out, the advisory board for her team, the training the trainer, which will be advocates and cyber infrastructure professionals. It's a real give and take, and we look forward to so much of the collaboration that has been set up to help out with that tier. And then also there's the MATCH team will be relying on an ontology of tagging such that we can characterize requests for assistance and characterize sort of skills and specialties in order to accommodate that matchmaking. So that would be an interesting semantic exercise that has already been drafted and we'll be looking to refine it and expand it. And then likewise, as Tom Polani put out, the monitoring and measurement, the OpenXD mod will be welcome to be placed in more facilities. And then as those optimizer, the algorithm optimizing applications and the energy usage applications come, the pilots come forward, it'll be great to get feedback there as quickly as possible. And then at the largest scale, the John points out, the external advisory board will be impaneled, following sort of a matrix approach there to try to balance out the different disciplines to represent the different scales and regions and such. So it's a real mix that we look forward to hearing from folks and inviting your participation. So with that, I want to just go to the next slide where we'll have our contact information and we can begin to respond to entries that are in the Q&A session. I know there was a question earlier about tier three allocations and the crossover to support. Has that been answered, Shelley, or do we want to revisit that?
I am actively responding to questions in the Q&A. Okay. So I think I'm caught up.
Thank you. Al, can you highlight other Q&A entries that we want to take interactively here? I'm going to jump over there.
Sure, Tom. We have a bit of buzz on your mic, or maybe it's just from my end. Yes, we have several questions that have been already responded to. Attendees, please take a look at the Q&A tab if you're curious about other questions that have been asked and already responded. Tom, I believe you may have noted one that you wish to answer, which was someone had asked if these slides will be made available either to members of the Access team or more generally.
As I understand it, we created an event page for today. We'll eventually have a recording of the session that we just made, and we will place the slide there as well. If anybody would like to go into any more detail, just please hit me at the Siegel Brand Concept.gov, and I'd be glad that we'll share slides and discuss some further issues.
So I don't know why suddenly we had a bit of, we're getting some feedback on your mic, Tom. But we do have, I think we heard that if there are questions specific to some of the slides or any more information, that folks can contact you at your contact information. We also had some folks had commented that some of the questions you may not be able to see. If you go into the Q&A tab, you may need to see specifically answered questions. but just to make sure that everyone is able to see some of the answers, we can go through some of those as well if folks still have issues seeing the Q&A tab. We do have, just going down the list, another question has come in asking, while this may be too early, are any gaps already identified between the 4 or 5 groups? For example, is there a particular task that it is not yet clear where it would fit? And I saw a comment, I don't know if Tom, you wish to answer that, or if you wish to have one of the PIs answer this.
You can hear me okay? Tom Pavani, can I get a yes, no? Can you hear my voice all right?
It's you're really, a little, really, your microphone seems to be a little bit.
Al, I was going to take that one if you wanted.
Yeah, please do.
Yes, okay, go ahead, John.
So that's actually an activity that the Interim Executive Council is engaged in currently. As the awardees are now known and their plans are shared with one another, we're going through a detailed process to do two things. One is to, three things maybe, identify those elements of Exceed that we want to continue into Access and make sure that there are detailed transition plans in place in order to get us get that transition done ahead of the September 1 switchover to Access. The second is that a few weeks back, all of the projects got together on a fairly massive web discussion, and we presented the projects to one another so we understood what one another's plans are, at least at some level. This was followed with a hybrid meeting, many of us in person, in which we were working through a lot of the details. And we're in the process now of identifying what the interdependencies are between the service tracks. And then from that, where are there gaps of things that we see not being supported going forward? This is, as you might imagine, a non-trivial exercise to go through. So we've been working through this. We've made some progress. We're also, as part of this, developing a schedule of milestones across all of the service tracks in order for us all to get to a production state by September 1. So we don't have a specific list of gaps quite yet, but we're working towards that. And I think in the coming weeks, we'll be identifying those and working amongst the service tracks and with NSF to address any of those gaps that we feel need to be filled before we get to September 1.
I would add that some of the gaps are being noted as needs. Doesn't mean that they're not to be fulfilled. It's needs that we have to determine the best way to fulfill. So it certainly isn't a commitment away from something at this point. We're just doing that cross-track compilation at this time. In the next 2 months, we'll, as Executive Council, examine ways to fill it in, and then NSF will also be responding. Another question?
You? Yes, we have another question that is asking that, while this is all quite interesting and exciting, many possibilities for nimbleness and flexibility inclusion, but as an end user, I go to Exceed portal and submit a proposal for compute time and get my work done, write papers and grants, and repeat next year. Where will I do that in the future? And how would I do it, even if it's just a rough guide? And I see Dave had noted interest in answering this one, unless, Tom, you had a comment?
Go ahead, Dave. I like how well tuned the server out is. I'm confident that it's going to keep happening. That's exactly true. Let's give you some new URLs and keep it going. Dave, did you want to take it?
Sure. Brief answer is that, in short, more or less that same process will exist for you in the future. Ask for compute time, get some work done, write paper, repeat. We're working on the fine details of our policies and procedures, and we'll have those ready soon. I think the whole Access team is working now actively to answer your question about where will that happen. We're coordinating on that actively. As Tom noted, we're 6 weeks in. We're still working out some of those details as well. And but I think the goal across Access, and John or Shelley can correct me, is around August, the beginning of August, we plan to have our initial information out to start answering some detailed questions like these about where to go and how things will happen. So bear with us, but it's in the works.
Yeah, I think that's a great answer, Dave. And I can add to that. I think that, because I've gotten this question already, so, you know, there will be opportunities for the community to engage with Access in a way that they could, similarly to how they were submitting questions for Exceed. We are actively working out what that means and how that'll look. But as Dave said, bear with us, and we're, you know, as we march closer to the September 1 deadline, we'll start to have more of that information available to help you figure out how to do that.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Shelley. The next question that we have is asking, where will what is currently referred to as the Campus Champions program, where will that fit in the Access program?
So I can take that. The Campus Champions are an amazing community that's been really active, and I'm a Campus Champion. I was on the leadership team. I think the Champions program is great. Match has been engaging with the Campus Champions leadership team to figure out what the next steps are. And again, while some of the details on that remain to be worked out, I think that the leadership team has been trying to sort out what it is that they would really need from Access. And we'll take a look at what it is that we might be able to provide within the scope of possible. And, but I don't anticipate the Champions disappearing. I think that they'll become part of the community network. And, you know, I think that some of the changes that'll happen with the Campus Champions themselves will be decided internally to the Champions team, but know that there are mechanisms in place for the Access team, particularly with Track 2, to support some of the efforts that the Exceed staff have been undertaking for the Champions in the past. And so we have opportunities to support things like the mailing lists and whatnot. And we're continuing with subsidies for conferences through our financial incentivization program. So, and that won't just be for the Campus Champions, it will be community-wide. But I think that, you know, the Champions, as you know it, I can't speak for them and the leadership team and exactly what their plans are, but know that Access is here to support as we can their process.
Thank you, Shelley. Since there were some comments from folks that were not able to see some of the answered questions, we just wanted to go through and summarize some of these to hand it over to some of our other tracks. I know there was one, Tom Furlani, for your group, asking that they were excited about the energy use pilot. Would you like to just quickly reiterate the answer about how you, if you're envisioning that users will be able to get a per job view of the energy use so they can compare different run conditions, or if it's something that's targeted more at service providers themselves?
No, that will, you're kind of whatever we deploy on the, for the resource providers, we deploy through OpenXDMAT. So yes, the intent is that you'd be able to provide that or measure that at your own institution, with the caveat that you have to make sure that your servers are capable of collecting that data. And so that would be the only caveat, but we intend to, whatever we develop, we intend to be able to deploy it at centers, academic centers, as well as the national resource providers.
Thank you, Tom. Going back to Match, earlier there was a question about whether if someone has a research allocation, would they have access to the Tier 3 support or Match Plus, as it was referred to? Or will access to Tier 3 or Tier 4 Match support require a merit-based proposal?
Yeah, the answer I provided was that our intention in Match is to provide support to our community. So I wouldn't say that support is limited to those who have research allocations. We are actively putting together the application process for the financial incentivization program that I mentioned. So while I wouldn't call it a merit-based proposal, there will need to be an application process so that we can make sure that we are distributing our funds in the best way possible. And I hope this helps. And if there's any follow-up on that, I'm more than happy to answer.
Thank you, Shelley. Going back to some of the live questions that have come in. One for, I believe, the RAMPS project. What are the approximate cutoffs and sizes for the various tiers and access allocations? Dave, I see you have noted you wish to answer that one.
Sure, thanks. Yes, I'm going to again defer giving you a very specific answer and just say again, we are actively working out those numbers. We do want to make sure we coordinate those with the resource providers first. I don't want to roll things out without engaging them first. I think it's safe to say, though, that we anticipate them to be slightly larger than you're used to at the startup level, so that when there'll be opportunities to get more resources with slightly less effort than you do at the XRAC level today. But again, look for more information around the beginning of August when we'll have some of these details nailed down. Thanks.
Thank you, Dave. I believe there were a few follow-up questions regarding the match allocations, but it sounds like they may be reaching out specifically to you, Shelley, on follow-up for more details on that. I'm looking to see if there are any other questions that we may have missed or that may have been answered that we wish to
Al, I had one. Sorry to interrupt you. There was one.
Sure, go ahead.
There was one that came in earlier that was from an anonymous attendee that said our issue specifically is that we're pivoting our code from traditional CPU clusters to CPU GPU nodes. We have allocations at Anvil and Delta, still waiting for Delta, but I feel that we still don't know how to properly utilize and request time on the GPU nodes. And so I want to share this response in case anybody else is facing a similar type of issue. And what I said was, to better understand how to utilize and request times on the GPU nodes, I'm certain that you would receive some great support from the individual resource provider. So submitting a ticket to them now should work well. If you need support in pivoting your code, it's possible that we might fit that within one of our tiers, but we would need to have more information on that. And once we are ready to roll out our support models and how you can engage, we'll be ready to more effectively answer that specific question. And if I can sort of add on, our community incentivization program, I suspect, I hope, will be quite popular. And it's important to the match team to make sure that we're moving forward on that, despite the very many, many things that we are moving forward on at the moment. So know that more information about that will be coming as we march along in the months forward. So definitely know that we'll provide more info on that and how you can all engage.
Thank you very much, Shelley. We have another question that has come in, which has asked, will anything change in the proposal process for access? Specifically, are we staying with quarterly proposal submissions and the possibility to do supplemental proposals anytime? And I see, Sean, you wish to answer this one?
Yeah, sure. There will be significant changes from the current XRAC proposal process. For the first tier of allocation, there will be no proposals. Basically, just a qualified account will get you a small amount of access credits to try computing things and such on any of the resources available through access. The second tier will require a very brief submission, probably a couple paragraphs, explaining what you want to do and the science that you want to do. The third tier will actually be a three-page proposal that will focus on the science that you want to do, and it will be reviewed by an asynchronous panel. So all three of those tiers can be submitted at any, will be able to be submitted at any time through the year and be awarded any time through the year. And then the fourth tier, will be very much like what we currently have in Exceed with the XRAC, where it'll be a 10-page proposal that will then be reviewed by a panel, which is the people that are asking for extreme amounts of computing resources. So it will be very different. Hopefully it'll be much easier. We'll be reviewing and awarding the last tier, that we're calling Maximize at this point. And that will be on a biannual basis, twice a year. I don't remember if it's biennial or biannual. Sorry. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, Sean, this is Dave. I wanted to add, Tom asked me to clarify a couple things about the transition schedule. The last Exceed allocation meeting will be held in August for annual allocations that will start October 1st. And Access will be honoring all allocations that are set up under Exceed. To maintain a transition, to make sure we don't drop the ball, we will hold a December meeting, the same cycle as Exceed, with submissions accepted between September and October 15th for allocations to begin January 1st. We will start the first of these biennial or semi-annual, I guess, ARC meetings with the March 2023 ARC meeting, and then we'll be on our semi-annual schedule at that point. Thanks.
I also wanted to,
Dave. Go ahead, John.
And clarify one of the responses that Shelley gave earlier, I think, to Mark Agnew about support for GPU codes. Mark, you should know that you can make a request still of Exceed to get some of that support up to the end of the operational period of Exceed. I can't guarantee that we have staff available. We'd have to ask the ECSS group whether they have that, but it's certainly worth asking. We can do some short project with you potentially to support the transition that you're trying to do with your code there.
Thank you, John. There is another follow-up question with regards to Match, asking if they wanted to clarify whether financial support is available for folks who need Tier 4 support. Such as many folks in fields like humanities, arts, social science may not have support for this type of technical support, and their grants don't provide for it. Is there somehow that they can access Tier 4 if they can't bring their own money?
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. We are not funded to provide that level of support. So what the mechanism that we've put in place to try and help those that were heavily engaged with ECSS is to provide, again, that matchmaking effort to help people who will need embedded consultants to find them. And hopefully that would help with their proposal writing process and including them in that. I don't want to speak for NSF, particularly when they're on the call, but what I have heard is that there are potentially other mechanisms for providing that support to look into. And I'm going to stop there and let someone else chime in if they like. So,
first and foremost, Shelley, you're right. We want to hear about all of those needs and try to find ways to react to them if they're long term and chronic, we can try to adjust accordingly. Sean, did you want to continue that answer?
Tom, we're having a really hard time hearing you. Something's going on with your microphone.
I'll pause, let anybody else follow up with what Shelley said, but I had an extra thing that I realized I didn't answer in the previous question.
I may add to what Tom, or maybe what Tom was trying to say, is that there are other opportunities to get resources at the campus level, at the regional level, that can provide that expertise that can then interface with the Match program. For example, one opportunity that was just closed, and there'll be follow-ons to that, is the cyber training solicitation, where you can get on-campus cyber professionals funded by NSF right for 5 years, which can provide that expertise at the campus level, at the regional level, but also interface and connect with the national network, leveraging the Match service. Right, and that's just one example.
Thank you, Manish.
If I can add to that, I think that we're all really interested in hearing, you know, any pain points that you might have in those areas. So make sure that you're surfacing them so we know about them.
All right, Sean, you had another point you wanted to make to the previous question.
Yeah, I realized that the previous questioner asked about supplementals, and I didn't mention that. So actually, supplementals are really, well, they're part of the process. So with the first three tiers, basically what you do is we give you a fixed amount of access credits to use on the resources. And when you are finished using those, you can basically send, you'll basically be able to send to us a progress report. Like, it won't be a very long, lengthy progress report, but it'll be, did you publish any papers? What did you do at the time? And then that will release the next tranche within that tier of access credits. So basically, you basically get an automatic supplemental top up every year for the current level that you're in. If you need more than that, then in a year, then you'll move up to the next level. So there, the supplements are not only encouraged, they're a part of the process now.
Thank you, Sean. Mm-hmm. I see another question has come in asking that there was a reference to FunkX and maybe Pegasus as part of CI research workflows. Will there be a future list of workflow tools that resource providers would need to support? I see, Dave, you'd like to take that question.
I'll take the first crack at it, and I'm sure Shelley will probably want to follow up, but I think it's a great question, and it's a really interesting place where I think potentially all the tracks are going to have to be engaged to answer down the road. For our part in track one and ramps, we're not really planning to look at the innovative pilots until after September 1st in the interest of making sure we do a smooth transition with existing infrastructure. But yes, FunkX was a partner on track one to on our innovative pilots about workflows. Track two engaged Pegasus to involve workflows through their support. As you note, it'll involve track three because it has to engage the resource providers. And I'm sure Tom Ferlani is wondering how we incorporate workflows into XDMod reporting. So probably yes is the answer to your question about the workflow tools will be supported. But I think right now it's going to be an interesting question on how we answer that question. It'll be an interesting cross-track collaboration to give you that final answer down the road.
Thank you, Dave. Anyone else who wishes to add to that on the workflow question?
Yes, I'd like to add a little bit that we will have some people-facing information sharing in track three so that you'll be able to do some searching to find out where these components of your workflow might exist on the different resource providers.
Thank you, Amy. There, another question came in asking if the slides or recording will be available for this. And Tom posted an answer in text, but I just wanted to reiterate that the slides and recording will be available at the NSF event webpage for this event. And if you have any questions about the slides prior to when they come up, it may be a couple of weeks before they are posted there, you can reach out to Tom's email address as listed in the slide. Checking now to see if there are any further questions. If I may have missed any questions that have come in so far that someone wishes to answer. Well, someone also asked, will the questions and answers be available in addition to the slides? That's one reason why we're going through the slides verbally, the question and answer verbally here is the Q&A session will be part of the recording as well. Shelley.
Oh, I just wanted to know if it's possible to chime in with something, and just to say to the community that, you know, I'm speaking for Match, but I'm pretty sure I'm speaking for the other tracks as well. That, you know, we're really interested to hear what's working for you and what isn't, and getting that feedback so we can, you know, figure out how to best move forward. So make sure that you're providing that input to us so that we understand, as I said earlier, any pain points that may arise and how we can figure out how to make this the best experience for you all as we can.
Thank you, Shelley. checking in. I know, Sean, you brought up the supplements. Someone had asked if they were only on an annual basis.
You can stay. Okay, it does sound complicated, but it's not. Let's say you get the second tier of allocation, the discovery allocation, and you use all of that time within a year. You can then ask for another tranche of the discovery allocation without having to write a new proposal. If you need more than one of those supplements per year, then you'll have to go to the next tier of allocation. So yes, it will be basically on it. But if you don't need it more than two of those in a year, then you can still stay in the discovery tier as you go along.
Thank you, Sean. Mm-hmm. Also regarding allocations, there's a question asking, will there be a way to renew a current long-running multi-year exceed allocation into an access allocation, or do we have to make a brand new proposal? Dave, do you want to take that?
Sure, that one's actually easy. Yes, you'll be able to continue your exceed allocations if you're at that the large scale tier. It'll look very similar. You'll make a proposal each year to continue at that level. So at the lower level tiers, there's still some details to be ironed out, but for the most part, you'll be able to renew your existing projects. Yes.
Thank you, Dave. And also, with given Shelley's comment, there's a question asking, what is the best way for users to provide feedback? That may have several answers, actually.
Yeah. I see Tom unmuted. Let me allow you to say something.
If you can hear me, I would say that those email addresses at start.
Coming in loud and clear now, Tom.
How ironic is that?
Yeah, I would anticipate that we'll have a mechanism for the community to be able to provide that input once we get going, whether it's on our webpage or it will exist somewhere that we will communicate out.
Thank you, Shelley. Are there any further questions at this time? A moment in just our last couple of minutes here.
I can add to, I was just reminded that we do have for Match specifically, we have a feedback mechanism on our site, amp.ci. I wouldn't advertise that as access-wide. I don't want to preclude the other tracks from getting that feedback, but if there's information for Match, we can take it in there right now.
Thank you, Shelley.
Al, thank you very much for picking up. You have such a great radio voice. I should just keep on mute the whole time. Thank you again to each of the PIs and co-PIs and team members for today. Super effort to get the basic message out at this formative stage. We've got a lot to do and a short time to get it going, but I think these questions have been helpful in understanding the nature of some of the inquiries, and we'll have more sessions like this. We'll be at PERC in July. And if there are additional forum type settings that anybody would like us to speak to, you're welcome to suggest those, and we'd be glad to try to participate. Manish, did you have a comment?
No, thank you, Tom. Again, thank you. Just wanted to say thank you to the team. Really excited and looking forward to working with you to execute on this vision that we have collectively laid out here today. I want to take this opportunity to also thank Exceed for just a tremendous job over the past decade, right? And for John's leadership over the years. I think it's provided the right basis on which we can Access can build on and move things forward. So thank you again to Exceed, to the entire team, and to John. Finally, I think just echoing what everybody said, I think this is going to be a process, right? We want to make sure that we build up these new ideas, these new innovations that are so apt for where we are, where science is going. But at the same time, we want to make sure that things are stable and the disruptions are minimized. We maintain stability. So if you have feedback, please reach out to these email addresses, but also, you know, let us know at NSF if we can help, right? It's going to be a process and we need to work together to achieve this. So once again, congratulations to the PIs, and we are so excited to be working with you on this. Thank you.
Thank you, Manish. Thank you, Tom. We did have a few final 11th hour questions come in, which we can try to get through unless you have some final closing comments, Tom, and we can follow up offline.
Go ahead. Yes, the recordings will be provided and the slides will be on that event site, as we said. Was the other question that came in?
There was one that I believe Amy just answered, but they were asking if Exceed logins will be transferred to Access logins through credentialed CI login ID at individual centers. And I see, Amy, you had noted that they're actively identifying or defining the identity and access management services for Access. That's another area we'll have additional information on August 1st. Thank you for that, Amy. And another question had asked, what would be happening to the current Exceed champion, campus champion allocations? And I see Stephen Deems had answered that all Exceed allocations, including the campus champion allocations, will be mapped to the new allocation tiers within the Access Ramps program. So now I think we're caught up, Tom.
Thank you, Stephen, for chipping in there. All right, then that's a wrap. Again, we'll welcome your input on an ongoing basis. We'll have a web presence up in coming months. And thank you so much for the time this afternoon.
Thank you, everyone.